Welcome to the show. This is The American Awakening, and it is not with Michael Herzog today. This is Patrick Slattery. I'm filling in for him. I was actually traveling myself, and that's why you heard me in the last hour. That was a recorded show. This is a live show. I'm back in my lair with Mr. T at the controls. And you know something? I wound up taking my microphone with me, and the network called just a second ago for the show to begin, and I realized my mic wasn't plugged in, so I will be switching over to my other mic momentarily. But for right now, I'm on my cell phone. I hope it sounds good. I think it probably sounds good enough. It will sound better later in the show. Patrick Slattery, I have the show before this show, National Bugle Radio, and Michael Herzog's, he's doing something important. He's doing something important, and he had asked me to fill in today, and I'm honored to fill in. I'm honored to have this chance to talk to his esteemed audience, some of whom probably know me from the last show, and some probably don't. Some probably tune in for Mr. Herzog, and here I am, this different-sounding person, but I'm hoping this is going to be a lot of fun today. I do a lot of radio, for those of you who don't know me. I've been doing a lot of radio, so I have this show, the show before this one, National Bugle Radio, which is my show, but I'm also a sidekick on, an occasional sidekick on David Duke's show and on Stormfront Radio, which is in the morning. But I've been traveling the past couple of days, so I really wasn't even doing that. So I've been gone for a little while, but now I'm back. I'll be happy to take callers. I haven't talked to callers for a few days because of having pre-recorded my shows. That call-in number here at Republic Broadcasting is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443, Republic Broadcasting Network. So for those of you who don't know me, I have issues I talk about. I talk a lot about current affairs, talk about foreign affairs. I'm very interested in Russia. I've long been interested in Russia, but probably more than anything else, I talk about the phenomenon of Jewish power. And it's not an easy issue to talk about because it's taboo. And it makes it very difficult to talk about. Also, there's because it's difficult to talk about for a couple of reasons, because it's taboo, but also because you're liable to have trouble in your business, professional relationships, even personal relationships. It's not forgiven if you run afoul of the taboo. So for that reason, also because many people like myself who investigate Jewish power see Jewish power as being instrumental in many of the problems. It's being really having a great deal to do, being a big part of the cause of many major problems that we confront. We've got our demographic change, the immigration problem, we've got a variety of wars. And so there's a tendency to talk about it with anger in those types of terms. I'm an academic, and I really try to talk about it as objectively as possible, without anger, without emotion, with understanding. Try to analyze why things are the way they are, why people or groups act the way they do. And you know, one thing that people who have heard my shows will often hear me say is, you know, I know lots of Jewish people that I like, that I admire, that I'm friendly with. And, you know, so how do you square that on the one hand with being very harshly critical of the role of Jewish power in our society and in the many problems of our society. How do you square that? And the easiest way, what you hear is, well, it's not all Jews. It's just there's just this little group at the top who's in control. That's kind of an easy way to say it, but I actually don't think that's the best analysis. And I tend to look at group behavior, and I think you can look at group behavior, and we look at group behavior in a lot of other circumstances, a lot of other contexts. We'll always often talk about, you know, the Russians do this, you know, Africans, the Spanish, and the Chinese want to build such and such. They want to build islands in the South China Sea. The Chinese want to do this. And you'll talk about it in group terms. It's difficult. When you say the Jews want to do something or the Jews did something, it's very, very difficult to say. There's a taboo against it. And then, it's not all Jews. Well, of course, it's not all Jews, and it's not all Chinese. But does that mean just... So, but what is the role of the individual Jew? And here I am right in front of a new audience, and I'm talking about what is probably the most difficult thing to talk about. So I apologize for that. But I know Michael Herzog is somebody who doesn't shy away from the difficult issues. So I feel that I can do that on his show. So the way I look at it is you do have an elite, a Jewish elite that plays a central role in our American governing elite. It plays a central, pivotal role, a dominant role even, in the ruling elite in this country and in other Western countries to varying degrees. But certainly in this country, to a very large degree, the Jewish elite dominates the ruling elite. That's what I would say. And as Kevin McDonald puts it, they're a hostile elite. And those that have allied with this Jewish elite, whether they share that hostility in heart, they certainly participate. You know, people like Nancy Pelosi, if you want to throw out a name, or the Clintons, they or the Bushes, they participate in policies that really were formulated to further what this Jewish elite sees as Jewish group or ethnic interests. Well, then what's the role of the ordinary Jew? Is it just, it's not all Jews, it's just this small elite. The way I look at it is, there is a responsibility that your typical Jew that you know does have a certain responsibility. What is it? Are they formulating the policies? No. Do they tend to support the policies? A lot, often, not necessarily. What's really the responsibility? To me, the biggest responsibility is that there is a tendency, and it's not universal, but there's a tendency for Jews to identify rather strongly with their group, to be concerned about group interests in a way that, say, Irish Americans don't really spend much time thinking about Irish American interests, or German Americans don't think about German American interests or whatnot, and whites aren't even allowed to think about white interests. You can't think of it in those terms. But more than that, more than anything else, is that even, you know, the nice guy who's in the next cubicle at your office, a nice Jewish guy, Mr. Schwartz or Mr. Stein, even if it's not active, even if it's kind of in a passive way, does repress discussion of Jewish power. He helps enforce the taboo, even if it's not particularly intentional. I've often gone to meetings, Ron Paul meetings or peace meetings or Palestinian solidarity meetings or whatever, any kind of meeting. And so often you'll have somebody, some often identify as a Jew, And it's, but even if they don't identify as a Jew, if it's known that there's a Jew there, you're talking about the, you know, Ron Paul meeting. If you're talking about the Federal Reserve, if you know there's a Jew there, it makes it very, very difficult to say anything about the Jewish role in the Federal Reserve, right? Unless that Jew is the one who initiates that discussion, but it's very difficult for somebody else to. And if you have, you know, if it's a Palestinian Solidarity Committee, well, everybody knows that Israel is the Jewish state. But even so, the just the presence of these Jewish Voices for Peace people, or Jewish Voice for Peace people at the Palestinian Solidarity Committee meeting, it makes it very difficult to talk about is Jewish interest or the Jewish lobby in the United States. You can talk about Zionism, you can talk about Israel, but you can't really talk about the greater Jewish community's large-scale support for Palestine. There's a lot of examples of this. So there is this certain responsibility that goes beyond the elite, that goes beyond the elite. Well, what should be the response to that, responsibility? And to me, the response should be the ability to discuss it openly. I don't think it should be hostility towards Jews. I don't think it should be jokes about ovens or anything else. I don't think it should be hostility towards Mr. Schwartz or Mr. Stein, or animosity, or resentment. But until we're able to discuss these things openly, like everybody else has been able to discuss grievances that they have against white people for the past, goes way more than 50 years. Everybody else can talk about, you know, whites coming and stealing the continent from the Indians and enslaving Africans or whatever, and we're not even allowed to provide a defense. We're not even allowed to put things in context. Public schools, we'll talk about public schools a little bit later, but public schools, I mean, they put Martin Luther King and Jackie Robinson and Rosa Parks on this pedestal, and meanwhile, I mean, George Washington, we used to have George Washington's birthday as a holiday. Now we have Martin Luther King's Day as a holiday, and we have President's Day that's not very well observed. And I've been to the church that George Washington attended in Alexandria, Virginia. There used to be a plaque on his pew. Well, they've taken that plaque off because he was a racist slave owner. Nothing can be put in context. Until we're able to discuss Jewish power and Jewish group responsibility for the grievances that we have, until we're able to do that, the same way everybody else is able to give voice to grievances they have, whether they're valid or not, against white people, until that day comes, the regular Jewish person does bear some responsibility for the continuation of that taboo. You know, I'm getting really down to the nitty-gritty and the core of my key beliefs and Michael Herzog's show more than I seem to be able to do even on my own show. Maybe there's something about maybe Michael Herzog brings something to this time slot, and I'm feeling the energy from it. So that's how I personally square what's can time seem like a very harsh assessment of Jewish power on the one hand, with an ability to be, you know, very friendly with Jewish individuals on the other, even though I do see a certain amount of responsibility. I do see a certain amount of responsibility, but it's the same way. I mean, other groups may have grievances against whites, and we're not able to put up a defense, but that doesn't mean that just because we're not allowed to put up a defense doesn't mean that some of those grievances don't have a certain amount of validity. And but I don't think somebody who has grievances, voices grievances against white people as a group, I don't see why they can't be friendly with me or with some other white person. And so I'm just saying that's the same way. I mean, we can be friendly with people, but we have to be able to voice these grievances or analyze the situation, talk about this phenomenon of Jewish power. For those of you who don't know me, I used to be a professor. I'm not anymore. But my field was political science, international political economy, but political science in particular. And I left academia because being a political scientist in an era of Jewish power, where it's taboo to talk about Jewish power, is like being an astronomer in Galileo's day, where you couldn't talk about the sun, the earth revolving around the sun. You couldn't talk about it because you'd be shown the instruments of torture. And if I were to say the things I just said the first 15 minutes of this radio program in a university lecture hall, I would lose my job, and I would never have a place in academia again. Plus, I would probably have a lot of trouble getting a new job. So I left academia, got that new job. Now I'm independent enough that I can talk about these things here on RBN. But this is very difficult to talk about. And because it's difficult to talk about, it's difficult to develop a good narrative, an appealing narrative. And what you'll find, I know we have a few more minutes before the break, what you've been finding in the past few years is on the alt-right, these young people on the alt-right have just taken a sledgehammer to the taboo. And what is that sledgehammer? The sledgehammer has been offensive humor. And I'm not going to say that they shouldn't do it. They have smashed this taboo and opened up a venue for discussion. But the sledgehammer of offensive humor, of words, racial slur words, and memes, offensive memes, and pictures of ovens, and a smug frog pushing a button on a gas chamber, and this type of thing. Well, they've used this in order to open up what had been a taboo, and open up a venue for discussion. And I'm not going to say that was a wrong thing to do, but it is something that only opens up the discussion to people who were brought up in an era where television and media was so coarse that, you turn on your most popular podcasts, or you turn on John Oliver, or you turn on Joe Rogan or any of these people, and every sentence has two swear words in it, two cuss words in it. That opens up the discussion to people who have been so desensitized to what our generation, older generation, might consider offensive. But we need to develop a narrative that is appealing to more people's ears. We'll be back after the break.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right.
Hey, I like this music.
As long as you lend a hand.
I recognize George Harrison's voice. My guess is it's the Traveling Wilburys. Wasn't he doing something with Tom Petty? And who else was in that group? That sounded nice. For those of you who listen to my show, you'll know it. When I come back in, my bumper music tends to be something I recorded off of Radio Pyongyang in the 1980s. I do that... to avoid copyright issues. I don't think the North Koreans are going to sue me over some very obscure North Korean ballad. That's why I use North Korean music. Plus, I like it. Anyway, I'm talking to an audience. It's the RBN audience. But for some people aren't used to me because I'm in a different time slot. This is Patrick Slattery filling in for Michael Herzog. So if you're tuned in, hoping to hear Michael Herzog. I understand he will be back on Monday, but I'm here now. And I will take calls if you want to talk to me. It's 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And, you know, I've had this show on RBN since October. And so it's only been a few months. I was on filling in for Farron on his when he had a Saturday night show for a few months, a year or two earlier. And, you know, you hear the announcements during some of the commercial breaks about supporting RBN. Where else could you hear somebody address the issues that I'm talking about today or that, you know, Michael Herzog talks about every day? Where do we have that freedom of speech? I mean, it is almost unheard of. And so this really is, it's incredibly valuable. For a listener or for somebody like myself, I couldn't say this in a university lecture hall. And you couldn't say it on CNN or any of the legacy media, the mainstream media, the lamestream media, the Zio media. You couldn't say this. We've got to talk our way through this. We've got to develop narratives. Narratives meaning ways of expressing our grievances, our analyses. We've got to develop ways of expressing them that people will understand. Because if we don't, I'm sorry. I mean, we are in a handbasket, and you know where we're headed, and it's not nice. Somebody's got to turn this around. And this is how we do it. I don't see us doing this through armed uprising and rebellion. We're an advanced, educated, literate society. We're a society that does have elections, even if they get rigged sometimes. There's a limit to the rigging they can do. I don't believe for a second that Donald Trump was the intended president of the powers that be. Not that he is the be-all and end-all, not that he's the answer to all our problems. I don't think he was in anybody's plan. Nobody that matters, at least. I think we can do things at the ballot box. We can do things in the public realm, debating, in protesting, in publishing. There's still things we can do, even though we're repressed, and we are very repressed. It's very difficult. I know so many hosts, show hosts, or publishers, or websites, or radio platforms like this have trouble maintaining relationships with credit card settlement companies. There's so much repression, but we're making a lot of progress. We've made huge progress in a number of ways, and we are developing narratives. People are becoming very, very aware of the problems. But in this, repressed situation, it's difficult. But we're making a lot of progress, and RBN, this is so vital to what we need to be doing. Now, in the last segment, I mentioned public schools for a second, and I'm going to link this into the current affairs topic.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know some companies take shortcuts? At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All right. Well, welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show. And I was just about to start talking about the shooting and the president's and other people's suggestion of arming certain teachers. I'm not going to go into it. We'll go into it later on when it comes up in conversation. But the idea, I think the public school teachers are dangerous enough being armed with cultural Marxism. So I don't know about the cultural Marxism being taught at gunpoint. But anyway, let's just go on. Let's go to Ivory from North Carolina. Ivory, welcome to the show.
All right, man. Well, I guess one thing I wanted to bring up is, I don't know. I mean, I think the certain school personnel having guns is a better solution than everything else that's being proposed. I mean, I guess there's a debate to be had about whether or not you want a bunch of Prius driving liberals to be bringing Glocks into school, but I don't know.
I say the cultural Marxism at gunpoint kind of because it's fun to say, but yeah, let's talk about it.
That is fun to say. Well, no, I think, it's compared to everything else that's being proposed, I would say, you know, having some armed personnel. Heck, man, why not arm the janitors? Give them something important to do besides pushing a mop. I mean, they're probably better qualified to handle a weapon than some soy libtard. You know.
Yeah. But, so let's talk about this. There's already been the discussion. I don't think it's anything's come of it in this country, but of arming airline pilots, right? I don't think it's happened in this country. Now, the thing about airline pilots is there's two things about them. One is almost all of them are ex-military in the first place. And then the second thing is, I mean, otherwise, they might greet people coming on and off the planes, but, you know, they're in the cockpit, and they're isolated in the cockpit, and they're not involved in disciplining or trying to rein in drunken passengers or things like that, behavior problems on planes. Teachers, aside from the fact that most of them are not ex-military, but, you know, the idea of arming them so that on that, you know, once or twice a year, or a few times a year when there's some sort of mass school shooting in this country, being ready for that eventuality that will probably never happen to them, they are dealing on a pretty regular basis with a lot of behavior problems, including violence in the schools. Well, I mean, sometimes I see, you know, if you watch Colin Flaherty's YouTube channel and you see some of the violence in the school, sometimes you think, yeah, well, I wouldn't mind a teacher pulling a gun on the students. But, you know, on the other hand, then there's the issue of the teacher, he gets called out to the hall. Now, is he carrying carrying the sidearm, you know, in a holster all the time? Or is it in the desk? Are the kids going to try to rummage through the desk? You know, are they going to find the keys to get in there? Or if it's on his, you know, if he's involved in some sort of altercation between students, is a, you know, maybe a large high school kid or junior high school kid going to go for the gun the way, the guy in Ferguson, Brown, what was his name? Something Brown, went for Darren Wilson's gun. Michael Brown went for Darren Wilson's gun, right? He was a cop. The cop says something to him. He walks over, tries to take his gun. So I see problems, but, you know, you made this suggestion, maybe other personnel, and maybe not a classroom teacher, but an assistant principal, for instance, or, you know.
I mean, think about this. I mean, just you wouldn't have to have everybody. I mean, if you had, you know, one or two other people, you know, I mean, that would deter things a little bit. Or, I mean, even changing the gun-free zone status of schools, you know, that might help. But then again, like you mentioned with the teachers carrying guns, it's like that, you know, might open up a whole other can of worms as well. All I know is that, personally, I can accept that bad things happen in a free society, and it's really unfortunate. But it's the solutions that are proposed are constantly far worse, you know, than the incidents themselves. For example, I've been seeing little echoes online, little articles I'm reading about. They're talking about banning. Well, Trump's talking about banning a bump stock, which is basically just a novelty item, anyways. But and then they're talking about even banning AR-15s. Now, what's going to happen? The next time, so that sets a really dangerous precedent. A bad school shooting happens with an AR-15. Now all of a sudden you want to ban AR-15s. Well, then what? Then what? Someone uses a 9mm pistol to do something, and now all of a sudden we've got to ban 9mm pistols. You know, just the precedents that are, you know, possible or being set. I don't know. It's kind of disturbing to me.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I'm not an expert on firearms. I know a lot more about public schools than I do about firearms. It's a lot of public schools in urban areas, in diverse areas, very often have metal detectors in the entrances and often have armed guards. And it would be interesting. I'm not sure, you know, we have how many mass school shootings do we have in a year? I'm not sure. But we have a number of smaller incidents at schools that might involve a shooting where nobody gets killed or something like that. I think they're fairly frequent. There's probably enough of them to get an idea of how well, say, the metal detectors work and whatnot. Now, having metal detectors at these urban schools, it is a sacrifice. I mean, maybe they keep the school safer. Like a lot of urban schools, they have a metal detector and an armed guard at the entrance. And
well, the armed guard thing, I mean, think about what just happened in Florida, allegedly, if it happens as they say. You know, there was a police officer assigned to that school, I mean, getting paid to protect the area, and he didn't even go inside. You know, it's... Once again, it's just another example of their solution. I mean, that would be a logical solution, wouldn't it? It's like, oh, well, what if we had an armed police, like, assigned to every school? Well, I mean, that's not even a solution. Look what just happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, one last point I want to make about this. It's difficult to talk about this issue. Not, you know, I talked about Jewish power at the first half of the show, and that's difficult to talk about because it's taboo. This is difficult to talk about not because it's taboo, but because you have, I guess, there's a fair amount of extremism in, like, people wanting to ban guns. I mean, there's a lot of people who would like to actually take away everybody's gun. And then on the other side, there's a lot of people who are unwilling to give an inch because of the slippery slope threat. And it's like, I had a friend who was a psychologist or, you know, a family counselor or something. And she used to say that, like, do you remember, I don't know if they still have these in 5 and 10 stores nowadays, but they were, when I was a kid, a common toy you could get for 5 cents was they were made out of woven grass. They were the Chinese finger traps. And all it was a tube. And you'd stick your fingers in. And as you stick your finger in, it would kind of push the tube and make it wider, and your fingers would slip right in. And when you pull it out, it would stretch the tube linearly, but it would make the diameter smaller, and your fingers would get trapped. And the more you'd pull, the tighter it would get. And over some issues, gun control, for instance, and abortion also, I think we're in this kind of Chinese finger trap where there's no trust between the two sides, and neither side is willing to, you know, either they're not willing to give an inch, or they're very extreme in their demands. And I think it's going to be a while. I don't think you can really have any kind of solution without regaining trust. I think you have to, and you're not going to regain trust in the type of circus atmosphere that we're having now, and it's not going to happen overnight. I think you got to regain some sort of trust, you know, in the system, and then maybe you can work things out. That's the last thing I have to say. What are your thoughts, Ivory?
Well, that's definitely, you make a good point there. I guess another thing we could do is just, ban mass shootings. That might be a good solution.
Well, yeah. And they outlawed war back in the 1920s.
Yeah, so let's make that illegal. Ban mass shootings.
Yeah.
That'll do the trick. But anyways, I'll let somebody else get on the line. But last thing I want to say is I just really appreciate just everything you've been bringing to the table. I've been familiar with you for the last couple of years. I hear you all the time with Duke. And I hear you do guest spots on other shows. And I just really appreciate everything you bring to the movement. And I also like just the approach that you have. Like, you'll be on with Duke, and sometimes, you know, you'll just stay in the background, you know, barely say anything because you're just letting everybody say what they need to say. But then if you're asked to contribute, you know, you just got a lot to bring to the table and contribute. So, man, I just want to say keep it up, man. I really, really appreciate everything that you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And with Dr. Duke, you know, he's got so much knowledge. He has so much to say. It's easy to stay in the background and not say much with Dr. Duke there.
True.
But
I can imagine.
He has such a wealth of information like nobody else. He's a walking encyclopedia on these issues. I recognize you, Ivory, from calling into Stormfront from time to time. And I appreciate your
calls. Oh, one last thing, too.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
No, go right ahead.
I was going to say is that I've been to your site a few times and everything too, and I was curious. Do you purposely keep like images of yourself kind of off the internet? Because like I listen to lots of radio, and I always get curious. Like, if I, you know, different radio hosts, and I'll like Google the person, and then I was like, I wonder what, you know, I'm going to Google Patrick Slatter. I was like, I wonder what this dude looks like. I've been listening to him for years, and you know how you like to put just the name sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Well. I just went online and like all I could ever find was like pictures of that like monkey, you know, and like maybe that's how you
want
it.
I'll tell you, the monkey's better looking than I am, so you're not missing much.
Okay. Well, there you
have it. Let's go on to John from Austin. John, welcome to the show.
Patrick, first time. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing, John?
I'm doing okay. That little noise you get there when you're going on always throws me.
Yeah. Well, you're on now.
And okay, okay.
I liked your Texas drawl, you know, that Texas accent you got. It's really, really nice.
Yeah, I'm from Far East Texas, mate. across that very wide river, the River Atlantic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just right across the pond there and a little to the
north.
There you
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about this Jewish issue. This was something that I just happened upon purely by accident a few years ago. I'd got up once, I remember it specifically, it was a Saturday morning, I got up, made a cup of tea, and I sat down at my computer, and I was just scrolling down my Facebook page, and here was this thing, a documentary video about the Holocaust. And I thought, I'll give this a look and see what transpires. Well, it was part one of a two-parter, and I ended up watching the second part. And after those, it was a total of 3 hours I watched. And I sat here scratching my head. I thought, well, I'd never, ever questioned the Holocaust. I'd never any reason to. But after watching this documentary, I thought, wow, this kind of shocked me. And just in this past 3 years, it's just a topic that I've really got myself engrossed in and done a lot of research in it. And yeah, I'm just sick of this. I just don't believe it. I don't believe this myth that's being perpetrated about the Holocaust and all the knock-on effects that it has in society. And I'd like to share a couple of... Let me just tell you this briefly, Patrick. While I was sitting here on hold waiting to talk to you,
mm-hmm.
I'm scrolling down my Facebook page, and there was just a minute and a half long video clip of the village. You know the Tamimi family that's in trouble over there at the moment? The wee girl that's been locked up?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, there's this little girl, her name is Ahed Tamimi. She's quite famous. She's only a youngster. She's just turned 17, but she's a very striking-looking young girl. She's got very long, fair, curly hair. And she got arrested in December and put in jail for slapping a soldier. A soldier who, incidentally, had shot her young cousin in the face with a rubber bullet 2 days previous. And now I just caught this clip here. The Israeli forces are back in this village. This clip was posted 4 hours ago, and there's just military vehicles flying all around, and there's piles of smoke coming from various places. I just weird that popped in front of my face there.
Now I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, various things have happened. I became familiar with a lady called Alison Weir. Have you heard of her?
Yeah, I've talked to her before. I've met her a couple of times.
Oh, there you go. Well, she was given a presentation last Thursday at the UT here, University of Texas, here in Austin. And I went over to meet her, and I got to meet her and talk to her very, very briefly before her presentation. And then when she finished giving her presentation, we were told that there was only enough time for like 5 or 10 minutes of a Q&A, which really ticked me off because I really wanted to hear what all the other members in the audience, I wanted their opinions because they're the UT students who have this thing called the Palestine Solidarity Committee.
Right, right.
And I had been to one of their meetings, the very first one I went to actually about a year or so ago, and they barely touched on the Palestine issue. They talked about civil rights in America, And I was really miffed about that, but I didn't say anything because it was my first time there. And what I was, what I wanted to ask them was, since the uproar that ensued after Trump made his announcement about moving the American embassy to Jerusalem, I was expecting fireworks from these people, and I never heard a peep. I hear the music there.
Yeah.
The Dixie
and if
Chicks.
You want, yeah. If you want, you could stay on, and we could finish up on the other side of the break.
Yeah, we'll do.
Okay.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Back to the show. Welcome back to the show. I don't know how long Michael Herzog lets those bumper music play. I like it. I'd like to listen to it for a while. I think on my last show, didn't I have a bunch of John Philip Sousa marches? Again, John Philip Sousa marches, not copyrighted. Okay, I'm back to you, John, from Austin. So you were discussing the Palestinian Solidarity Committee meetings and Alison Weir?
Yeah. About the past year or so, I've begun to follow this issue. There's a lot of pro-Palestinian pages on Facebook, and I'm just seeing the horrors of everyday life for these people on a daily basis, and It's got my blood pressure going through the roof, basically. It just drives me crazy that this is allowed to go on and there's no intervention from anybody in the world about this. And in particular, this is being perpetrated by people who have been crying crocodile tears for years about their supposed Holocaust 70 years ago. Well, what has happened to Palestine, to me, is just unconscionable. Now, I'd just like to make another couple of quick points, Patrick, and if you've got any other callers, I don't want to keep them waiting too long. But the power that this Jewish thing, whatever you want to call it, has. A few months ago, there was a football match in Scotland. It was a European tournament between Glasgow Celtic, one of the top clubs in the country, and an Israeli team, whose name I forget.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the Celtic fans are very pro-Palestinian,
mm-hmm.
and they were waving Palestinian flags at that match. But the first question they asked was, how does an Israeli football team qualify for a European football tournament?
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Secondly, the club, Celtic, were fined by the European Football Authority for flying Palestinian flags. Now, that, given the club, that is just bizarre, because there are two teams, and this is in Glasgow in Scotland. There's Glasgow Celtic and Glasgow Rangers. Now, the Celtic are a very strong Catholic team with ties to the Republic of Ireland. And the other lot, the Rangers, they're a Protestant team who are loyal to the British Crown. So over the years, there's been a very strong partisan hatred between these two teams.
And you say these are both Glasgow teams? Glasgow?
Yeah, yeah.
In Scotland, okay.
I'll just throw this in for you, just for grins and giggles. When the Football Association was being set up over 100 years ago, there was a bit of social engineering done, and someone thought it would be a good idea that they would have at least two football teams in all of the major cities in Britain, just mm-hmm. to keep the folks divided.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those divisions in certain cities are worse than others. And Glasgow, because of the religious element in it, is one of the worst. Over the years, there's been stabbings, murders as a result of the hatred between these people. And I just thought, we've tolerated that for years and years and years, but they dare fly Palestinian flags and the football authorities want to fine them? This is really influences just mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling. Well, John, thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it. And in the next hour, we're going to go straight to our next caller. So please stay on the line. And Mark from Philadelphia, you'll be up next.
And I'll keep paying.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.